Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as you know, every now and then we like to get in a two-star Michelin chef and insult him by asking him to talk about really basic food. Damien Gray of Leo Restaurant, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm grand. So listen, you can put aside your saucing and your this and that and your micro herbs now. And we're going to talk about how to do a good old fashioned Sunday roast. If you still remember how to do basic things like that. Was Sunday roast a thing growing up in Oz, or was the Barbie kind of your version of it?
No, definitely the Sunday roast, you know, like because, you know, the influence from Ireland and England, you know, starting in Australia, like we basically took on that tradition. In Australia. So yeah, every weekend, straight over to granddad and nana's house, massive roast, big, you know, 30 grandkids, and then all the uncles and aunties are everywhere, and there's chickens and there's lambs and there's beef flying around, and there's potatoes that you could lift them, you know, you could hold the roof up with. And yeah, it was definitely much a tradition at home.
Yeah, and of course it is a great way to gather a gang of family or friends or whatever, isn't it? What meat do you favour? Leg of lamb, I think, is my favourite, if the lamb is moist.
Yeah, no, if the lamb is good, I'm definitely in for a bit of leg of lamb. But to be honest with you, since living in Ireland, I do fancy the pork, you know, the roast loin of pork with a good bit of crackling on the top of it. Like that crackling, you know, there's fights in our house over the crackling. Like I've got two teenage daughters now, and the fight is still pretty full on. Who's going to get the best bit of the crackling over the course of the meal? But yeah, definitely pork. Pork would be my favourite.
Yeah, the pork can be a bit dry, like a chicken. A chicken can be dry too, can't it?
You can, but if you hit a little trick, just put a little bit of water, or even just in the bottom of the oven, you put a little tray of water in there. And just sort of create at the very beginning of the cooking, okay? Because what you can do is you can create some humidity within the oven. It's not a fancy trick. It doesn't have to be hot or anything. You just put cold water in there when you put the chicken in, or you put your lamb or beef or whatever. And this will help the humidity in the oven, and it won't dry out the meat in the first initial hour of cooking. And then when you want to get that lovely, real caramelized finish on the outside, then you just, once the water's evaporated, you turn the oven up a little bit and give it that final push, and that'll give the crunchiness, and that'll sort of retain the moisture with inside.
Okay, so when you're getting that kind of the crispness is towards the end then. Do we need to buy like an organic chicken or whatever?
Look, you always want to know where your animals are coming from. Not everybody has the opportunity to buy organic chickens and stuff like that, but definitely know where your animals are coming from. Understand that they're coming from a well-respected, well-read sort of situation. Look, all animals, as long as that's the situation, then by all means, go for it. You know, so.
Okay, so in terms of tips on technique then, I see your technique here. Would I sum it up as brown, bung and baste?
Yeah, literally, yeah. So you want to get it in there, for instance, if you're doing red meats, okay,
yeah,
you want to seal them first before they go into the oven. Don't put them in so they sort of just come straight out of the fridge, or you put them out for a while just to come to room temperature. Give them a quick searing in the pan. Now, if you don't have a big pan, you can use the barbecue as well, or you can use a roasting pan on top of the burners and let that heat up a little bit with some oil in it, and that gives you a bit more surface area. But definitely get some caramelization on the outside, just to maintain that'll seal the moisture and keep it within. And then with, you know, your two-legged friends, you can definitely do that as well. But, you know, when you're in the oven, every now and then, every 20 minutes, every 30 minutes, pull it out, take the juices that are collecting at the bottom, and just simply put it back over the top. And that will maintain, again, the moisture within, but it'll just give more flavor. Just keep that flavor, keep getting into it. And then at the end, turn the oven up, give it 20 minutes or 10 minutes on the, you know, right up at around 200, 210, and you get a super, super crispy skin at that stage.
And then, we're told we should rest it, but I think Irish people are pretty impatient about that kind of thing.
Nothing gets rested in our house. As soon as it's coming out of the oven, it's like, you know, a pack of seagulls have showed up and they're already picking at it before it's even carved, you know. So, but look, it is, you know, red meats, it's ideal to rest. All meats, actually, it's ideal to rest. generally that means, right, if you give it 5 minutes before you cut it or 10 minutes before you cut it, it's still going to have its warmth or its heat in it. Put a little bit of foil over it to maintain that heat.
Okay.
But just what it does is it lets the muscles of the animals relax, and then it makes it even more tender.
Okay, let's not think about it as the muscles of an animal relaxing. That might be, that's kind of off-putting. Let the cow chill out a bit there before we cruelly eat it. Come here, any secret to elevate it to restaurant standard? I mean, apart from obviously the two secrets of every restaurant, butter and staff, but have you got anything we could do at home?
Truffles. If you can get truffles, just fire truffles all over it, and you'll have a great.
And you can treble the price straight away there, can you?
To elevate it up, you know, don't be afraid to use fresh herbs in sauces. Don't be afraid to use the fresh herbs, seasoning your meats. Also, if you can get really good quality products, definitely do that. That helps. That generally, if you have a good product, you don't have to do anything to it. It's going to speak for itself straight off the bat. So, you know, realistically, that would be the biggest tip. Just buy well, and then that way you don't have to do much to it.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, I would argue, and I think a lot of people would, that the meat is not actually the important bit in a roast. I think we would all agree that the roast potatoes are probably the key element here. And most chefs have a kind of a secret roast potato, you know, polenta or this or that. Do you have a secret roast potato method for us?
So my wife does the best version of a baked spud, right? So parboil the potato first, so it's just cooked.
Yeah, hang on. Baked potato is something different. Roast.
No, not a baked potato. Roast potato.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, grand. So yeah. Science here. We need to be specific, yeah?
Well, you can put a baked spud on there as well. It's going to be pretty good as well. But a roast potato, parboil it first, so it's just cooked. Then strain it off and let the air dry it out a bit, okay? And this will take the excess moisture that's within the potato out. Then, okay, you get some, get your pan nice and warm, and you almost shallow fry them in a frying pan or a roasting pan. And then, but the real trick to a seriously, seriously good roast potato is the seasoning, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, seasonings, you can get all sorts of variations in the supermarket, okay? But there's one little tiny trick that works at a trick with all of it is put, and I mean just the tiniest bit, like a fairy sprinkle of sugar into the seasoning mix, and it makes the massive amount of difference.
Genius.
Massive amount. It almost, you know what it does? It almost balances everything out. So all the spices and the bitterness and the sweetness and the sourness and all that's coming from the spices, that tiny little bit of sugar just helps it bring everything under control. And that is, I've definitely learned over the years that's a game changer when you want to really impress people with the roast potatoes.
So at what point is this sugar going into the situation?
So when so we've got our potatoes, they're cooking away and everything like that. And then, you know, when you sort of season just before the end, so you've made a little seasoning mix on the side, you put all your seasonings in there, or you just sprinkle a little bit into a bowl and then just put, a few grains of sugar into it, and it will definitely elevate the potato, for sure.
Okay. What other veg would you go for?
All root vegetables, especially at this time of year. You know, don't underestimate the pumpkins. We sort of carve them up here. We don't really sort of embrace them enough. They are amazing. You literally, and they are the easiest thing to cook. Because
okay,
what you
I'll
do
take,
is you
I'll
wash
take,
the
I'll take your word for that.
Wash them on the outside, cut them in quarters, throw them in at the same time as the meat, and they'll be amazing when you pull them out.
Okay, so generally roasting root veg would you put it in the pan with the roast
absolutely.
Meat itself, yeah? Okay, so
yep,
it's going to get
yep,
nice
absolutely.
And icky
yep.
and, yeah. And listen, if all else fails, there's always petit pois in the freezer, isn't there?
You've always got a packet of bird's eye kicking around somewhere in the freezer, half opened, tied together with a bit of string or cling film or whatever the case may be. And then the rest of it's spilt at the bottom of the freezer. But definitely, you know, don't be afraid to put some peas and, some corn or stuff in there as well.
Damien Gray of Lea Restaurant, always a pleasure and always an education. Sugar with the roast potatoes, I think, is the big takeaway from today's show. Thanks, Damien. Talk to you soon.
No, welcome. Thank you very much.